This is Memorial Day weekend, and we're celebrating and enjoying the benefit of those who have given the ultimate sacrifice for your nation and mine, for us to have the freedom to worship. What a marvelous thing, and what a somber thing it is at the same time. And yet at the same time, as the same time, we are celebrating the one who gave himself, the perfect Lamb of God, without sin, without mar, never said anything wrong, was fulfilled all of the law, all of his life, all of the time, wherever he was a righteous man of God. And he gave himself willingly into the hands of his accusers, into the wickedness and the wicked hearts of man, so that he could be the ultimate sacrifice, so that you and I could have the freedom from chains of addiction, chains of despair, chains of sorrow, so that we could be free to lift our hands and celebrate life in Jesus Christ. So today we celebrate that in a dual fashion. Thank you for the earthly benefits, but thank you for the spiritual benefits as well, Jesus. We give you thanks. Let's give Jesus a big hand. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So we're happy to be with you today, and glad you could be with us on this weekend. I know a number of folks have planned their weekend to start their summer vacation on a weekend like this, and that's a big deal. But you came today to be with us in worship, and we're thankful for that. And didn't that worship team do a good job? Yeah. We really, really appreciate that. Worship is such a big deal, and I feel very strongly about worship and your participation. It's not a performance up here. You know, when you get beyond this wooden edge, whatever that was, when you get beyond the wooden edge, this is not a performance up here. These are people demonstrating for us how to enter in, how to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And so thank you, each one of you, for the model of your sacrifice and the model of your worship. It challenges us to do more and to dig in more, right? Praise God. So thank you for that. Praise the Lord. So we want to dig in today to the Gospel Project. We're going to continue in the Gospel Project. We didn't cover last week's bookmark, but we might just spend just a moment on the last week's bookmark, which was from Matthew chapter 13. And we had a good time last week with Michael Evans in his presentation and delivery of a solid word. Did you enjoy that word? Amen. So we're very thankful for that. I'm very thankful for you that are online watching. I don't know if you folks in the house realize it, but this online delivery of what happens in this house is a very strategic and very important part of how we can reach into the world today. Even just this last week, someone responded by filling out a connection card and said, I said yes to Jesus today as a result of visiting the website. So tech team and all that you do back there, let me just remind you, you're doing a very worthy and honorable task of putting all this together and making it happen. Because there's things that are happening beyond what we can see. Isn't that true? Beyond what we can know at any given time. And today, that's kind of what we're talking about. We're talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So, Lord, we just praise you today for this opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for these people, and thank you for the sacrifices. Thank you, most of all, for the sacrifice of worship that has been lifted up today. Thank you for the words that were sung and the hearts that were opened up today. And we just ask you to pour in your word to our hearts today. We just receive your word with meekness and with great gratitude in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. So last week, if we were to cover the bookmark from last Sunday, May 22nd, it would have been regarding the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. That the kingdom of heaven is a treasure hidden in a field. And a second parable Jesus gave was the kingdom of heaven is a merchant looking. What better combination of parables could there be than a treasure that is hidden and a merchant who is searching for something of great value? And truly, that is what the kingdom of God is all about. The kingdom of God has been placed, brought into the earth through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And it has been brought to this earth where you and I live. I'm not sure what we can do about that scratch, but if there's a way we can do that, that'd be just terrific. All right. But the kingdom of God is here. It's among us. Jesus demonstrated it in every way, in his miracles and his teaching. Let's see what we can do here differently. Okay, let's see here.
How about that? Well, ooh, it's on. We've got power. All right. Let me put this in my pocket here for now. All right. So the kingdom of God is among us. It's here. You are members of the kingdom of God. I tell you, we're living in a world right now that is in desperate need of a demonstration, a manifestation, evidence of the presence of the kingdom of God on the earth. I don't need to go into current events. You can read it, listen to the news, newscast, whichever one you might listen to, and you can know that the world is hurting in so many ways, in so many levels. But the kingdom of God is here, and right now the world is not a spiritual place, never has been, but the world needs to hear about the kingdom of God, needs to hear about the benefits that have been provided for us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So last week we didn't cover, but just to touch on it, the kingdom of heaven is a treasure in the field, and the kingdom of heaven is a merchant looking. Because you see, the benefit of the kingdom has been hidden into the earth. Here is the earth. You and I are earth, created out of the earth, the dust of the earth. And the kingdom of God has been spread upon the earth. And then there is a merchant that is looking. Jesus Christ is that merchant, if you will, looking for valuable pearls out there among the nations. That's what the sea represents in Matthew chapter 13. The sea represents the nations of the earth, all the Gentile nations and the Jewish nation, all of the nations. Jesus is the searching merchant looking for those valuable pearls. Your life is of great value to God in his heart. You are a choice gem, a pearl with great price. Today we want to look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 26 through 34. And as we look there, let me just kind of read those scriptures for you. Jesus gives a couple more parables. And everything that Jesus taught, he used parables. Parables are practical, ordinary, everyday instances and occurrences that everyone was familiar with. And Jesus would take an everyday event or everyday occurrence and parallel it with a concept from the kingdom with a spiritual connotation. So beginning at verse 26, the scripture says, he also said there, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground day and night or night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces seed. First the stalk, and then the head, and then the full kernel on the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Again, he said. Now he's going into another parable type. What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? See, he's really driving home here in repeat fashion, trying to illustrate and give us ideas of what the kingdom of God is like and what it's for. So what shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such branches that the birds can perch it in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. And with that in mind, let me just remind you, the times that you can be alone with Jesus are times when he can begin to explain everything to you. Those times when you're able to worship him, time to able to be in his presence like you were today, you can bring your problems before him, your concerns, your questions, the things that are troubling to you, and you can worship the Lord and say, just like Hezekiah did, laid out the threat of an invading army, an invading king, and said, this is what's going on. And you see, the Lord will give you insight and understanding about what's going on in your life and give you guidance in those times when you will enter into his presence through prayer, through worship, through community. Great things begin to happen. But today we are in need of a manifestation of the kingdom of God. The world is looking for reasons why to accept or to believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. The world is looking for reasons why you say the kingdom of God really is such. Tell me why. Where is your God? And so we need today to understand how this all works. And I want to give you just a few quick points based upon this parable that we've just read from in Mark chapter 4. The first one is the power of life is in the seed. The seed represents the kingdom of God, and there is power of life in seeds. When you open up a package, we were just at a farmer's market yesterday, and someone gave us a package of seeds for beets. And if you were to open up that package and look inside, all you see is just some hard little pebble-like things. And what good is this ever going to be? What good could this ever be? But there is power in those seeds to create fruit that will feed others. And so it is with the kingdom of God. The Lord is saying there's power in the seed. The power of life is in the seed. Seeds that were found in Pharaoh's tombs in the pyramids, thousands of years old, were put to the test and put into moist soil, and before long, after sitting idle for so long, still sprouted life. The power of life, the irresistible power, indestructible power of the life of God is in the seed, the kingdom seed. And you see, this is where we need to be able to say, God, I want to participate in that life. I want to participate in that life. I've lived a life that's been pretty dull, boring, sad, disrupted, and broken. But God, I want to participate in the life of the kingdom. So the power of life is in the seed. Come into the kingdom of God by faith and understand that God will give you the experience of the greatest life you ever could live. Praise God. The greatest life you could ever live. Some would say, well, I don't know about being a Christian or a Jesus follower today. I don't know. I tell you what, I would rather be a Jesus follower today and a Christian today and know that that by faith heaven is around. And then when I die, find out there was nothing. Than to find out that I lived my life saying nothing to Jesus. There's nothing to this kingdom talk. And then when I die and find out I'm standing before a judgment, I'm standing before a great judge of all the universe, and I have not put my faith in him and what he's done for me. I want to believe in the power of the life that is in the kingdom today because it's for my benefit. It's for your benefit. It's for our benefit to put our trust and confidence in the life of the seed, the life of the kingdom of God. Number two, second point is that there's a cooperation. The seed and the earth produce the soil. The scripture says that the seed was sown onto the ground. Jesus gave us the instruction about the Lord's Prayer. One part of that Lord's Prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. And, you know, Lord, we begin by saying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth. On earth. What's the earth? Is he talking specifically about the dirt in the garden in your backyard? Is he talking about the 140 acres down the road over here off Highway 23? What's he talking? He's talking about you and I. The seed being sown among humanity. And And the Lord is calling for his will to be done, his kingdom to come. And so when we receive the seed of the kingdom through faith, things begin to happen. There is a cooperation, if you will. The seed and the earth begin to produce a crop that is 30, 60, and 100 fold, as the earlier parable had described. Thirdly, there is a process. The kingdom grows through process. A lot of times we want a quick answer. But God says, I've got a process I'm willing to take you through. Where's the process? Well, the scripture says, this all by itself, the soil, after with possession of the seed, the soil having possession of the seed, produces grain. And then the first stage was the stalk, then the ear or the head, and then the full kernel. And then as soon as it's ripe, the harvester comes to bring harvest. You see, there is a process involved, and God has things in line for you and I if we are willing to walk with Him in process. We would say, well, why doesn't God answer my prayers? Why doesn't God supply my needs? Why do I have to wait? Well, you know what? There's a process involved as we trust God. Several years ago, my wife and I had gone to Mankato, Minnesota, after we left Ottawa, and we were pleasantly involved in ministry there, pastoring a church and doing other things organizationally. And that for 11 years, I felt like I could never leave this place. The thought of leaving never occurred to me. And then sometime, all of a sudden, one day, I just took off my jacket while I was preaching, and I felt, shoot, what was that that I just took off? What was that that I just took off? And so that began a process. I didn't realize it at the time, but looking back, I can see how God was working a process. Now, God doesn't always deal with taking off my jacket or my pajamas. He deals with a process. And sometimes we don't see the process until we're able to look back and say, oh my God, you have been there all along. So shortly after this occurrence, Vicki and I were having conversation about that, and we started realizing and sensing that God was really stirring our pot, and it was wanting us to go to do something. We didn't know what it was, and so we said, "Well, we're gonna pray and fast." So we went into a 2-week time of praying and fasting, and trying to seek the will of God, and about. Toward the end of that fast, we get a telephone call from a realtor in Mankato, Minnesota. And the story from her goes like this. Mr. Bachmeyer? Yes. This is, I'm going to call her name Arlene. She could have been a Mary. I forget her name right now. We've got it in our record. Said, this is so-and-so from Midwest Realty in Mankato. Yes, what's the purpose of your call? She said, I have a client that is moving up from Texas. He's a pastor, and they're moving from Texas to Mankato. And they were driving down North Broad Street the other day and looked across the park and saw your house sitting on the hill there. And he asked me to call you and ask you, would you be willing to sell your house? Talk about drop the mic. I said to Miss Realtor, well, that's very interesting. I said, give me 24 hours and I'll call you back with our decision. So she said, that's fine enough. So we hung up. Vicki and I talked about it, and we couldn't believe what was happening. We couldn't believe what was going on. And so the next day, after our conversation, we agreed that this would be our strategy. Called up Miss Realtor, and I said, hello, this is Mike at 219 North Washington Court in Mankato, Minnesota. I said, we will agree to a one-time showing. A one-time showing of this house, and that's all I can tell you right now. And so she said, well, we'll schedule that for tomorrow. And so a lot of busyness took place, a lot of prepping, cleaning. And the rest of the story is that those folks came in and made us an offer that was well within market range of where we were, more than we anticipated, and we agreed to sell our home in Mankato. Just like that, out of nowhere. But what was going on? There was a process that had been happening from that moment when I said, what was that? That's interesting. And so what else did we do? Just jump on this area. Something's got to happen. We got to make something happen. No, we began to seek God about the situation. We began to open our hearts to what God is wanting. And then miraculously, somehow, God took point A and brought it over to point B and connected the dots and had his way with us. And so God wants to do the same thing for you and I across the board. He wants to show his plan. He wants to enter into a process with you of healing, a process of recovery, a process of breakthrough, a process of victory, a process of multiplication. He's a God of process, and he just loves entering in to that conversation and that process with you. Praise God. And so understand that it comes through that process. First, the soil takes possession of the seed. In other words, the soil, that's you and I. We receive the truth of God's word and his power into our heart. We have possession of it within our hearts, and we've opened our hearts to it and received it. Now God begins that process of producing fruit. Fourthly, we may not know it, but how is where God demonstrates mystery. I say that because the scripture says in that verse, it says, all this happens night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Though he does not know how. You know, we might be familiar with the 5 W's of journalistic investigation: the who, the what, the when, the where, and the why. But when it comes to the how, sometimes we're at a great loss. How in the world did that happen? But it's in those times when God is breaking into your life with an opportunity or with freshness or some kind of answer to your prayer. It's like, whoa, the how is finally being manifested, even though we don't understand where it's coming from or how he's going to do it. But he'll do it. Why? Because he is a faithful God. He's the king of the kingdom. Praise God. He's promised that for you and I. So the how is the unknown, and it is in the unknown that God specializes for you. Embrace mystery. Embrace the mystery of how, God, will this ever happen? I don't know how this will ever happen, but God in his infinite wisdom will bring it to pass. Praise God. So trust this God of the kingdom, the king of the kingdom. The second parable that Jesus gave, as we read from today, was about the mustard seed. You plant the mustard seed and so on, and it's the smallest seed, and it produces great results. The kingdom may seem to the world to be insignificant. The kingdom may seem to be of no great value or no impact or not even relevant to the world today. But let me tell you that though it starts small, there's great things that will come from it. And in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, we are challenged by the words of Jesus when he says, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. I can't give you great answers on that last phrase, nothing shall be impossible to you, because there's a lot of things that are impossible. I can't fly off the second floor. You know, I can't create money out of paper. I'm not capable of doing it. I can't change someone's health just by saying hocus pocus, abracadabra. But God does do those things for us, and we sometimes wonder how that can happen. How is that possible? Well, it starts by having even the seed of faith, the size of a mustard seed, if you will. But I like what the King James says. It doesn't say the size of a mustard seed. It says faith as a mustard seed. Because a mustard seed, when it grows, it becomes multiple sizes from its original state as a seed, doesn't it? Down our street, Madison Street, we're getting a recover and redo of the whole street in front of our house. Water, sewer, and curb and gutter and pavement. And in that process, they came in with big chainsaws and cut down five major trees, just gigantic maples and oaks that they had to cut out because they had grown in such massive size. They were heaving the sidewalk and heaving the curb, and it was time for it to go. And so they brought in the big chainsaws and cut them down. They brought in stump grinders and ground out the stumps and got rid of any evidence that those trees were ever there. But you know, those giant, those monsters, those great, beautiful trees at one time was just an acorn or was just a whirly bird maple seed at one time. And you see, there is something in the seed, if you will, if I could personify it, It's saying to itself, I may be small now, but one of these days I'm going to be a giant oak. I'm just a little bitty acorn now, but I've got confidence that what's inside of me is going to be much bigger than what you see now. And I believe there's something to that element involved here in what Jesus is saying, that if you'll have a faith as a grain of mustard seed, that you can see that through the work that God is going to do through your faith is much bigger, going to be much bigger than what you may be experiencing right now. So hold on to God, put your faith in Him, and trust Him because He's promised to do great things. Hold on to Him. You see, the scientists and those who are looking at the stars, astronomers, are looking through their telescopes, and they're telling us now that they're seeing evidence of changes in stars and galaxies and things happening. Well, you know what? I don't know a whole lot about astronomy, but I have enough to know that those changes didn't just happen yesterday. They were just perceived yesterday. They were just perceived a week ago or a month ago. But they happened, what they're seeing happened centuries ago. Centuries ago. And we're just getting evidence of it on the earth and visibility of it now at our time. You see, God is saying something to you about this. When you're praying for an answer and you're not seeing it, don't lose hope and don't lose faith because the answer is on the way. It started many years ago when you first believed and God has a plan for your life and He's not incongruent. Everything He does is strategic and in place and in lockstep with His purpose and plan. It may not be like you and I, a straight target to the goal. It may be like what I told Vicki the other day. It's like the road to Hana. Anybody traveled the road to Hana in Hawaii? If you haven't done it, someday if you get the opportunity to do it, because it's a road that hairpin turns up and down, curving around the mountain through the forests, along the ocean. And a lot of times the life's journey is that way, isn't it? But you see, if you'll just stay true and trust God, put your faith as a grain of mustard seed in Him, He will bring it to pass. Just allow this process to have its way. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. I don't have that verse for the tech guys, but let me just read a portion of it to you today. It says something like this: be careful, verse 24, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Consider carefully what you hear. Jesus was giving a parable of the lampstand. You don't hide a lamp under a bushel, but you put it on a tall lampstand for it all to see. And he says as he's giving out these parables of the sower and the parable of the lampstand, he adds in, he says, be careful to what you're hearing. Pay attention to what you're hearing. Take all this, as much as you can, take in what God is saying to you. And because he says the measure you use will be measured back to you. There's a picture of, I think we have. Guys, could you put that picture up? Is that in there somewhere in the mix of things? In the middle of all this, all of the construction going on in front of my house, I had to take this little picture. It's not what it seems, but let me tell you what I see. It's a small little backhoe with a giant bucket. The bucket is as big as the backhoe. But really, it's not connected. It's sitting just beside it. And I looked at that, and I said, I got to get a picture of that, because it looks as though the little backhoe has got great faith. It's using a big bucket. And Jesus says, be careful to what you're hearing. Pay attention to what you're hearing. Just beware that you don't let it slide. Because with the same measure you use, and this little guy says, I want the biggest bucket I can handle. I want the biggest scooper I can get in there and grab a hold of it. And you see, when you come into the presence of God and when you worship, it's like, God, help us to dig into you a little deeper. Help us to go into you a little more, because what I get out of worship is what I dig into for. What I go for in worship, the measure I use is the measure it's going to be brought back to me. I feel much better after I worship when I've given myself into worship than if I just sit and listen to the music. But when I'm actively involved in that worship and my heart is singing, and sometimes I may clap my hands or may raise my hands, I may say amen, I may say yeah, or go God, or who. But the more I give in worship, the more I give to God and faith and trust him, the more I'm going to experience. You see, God has great things in store for us. So doing anything of faith is very, very important. As Romans 1:17 says, you go from faith to faith. We go from faith to faith. You see, sometimes it's like this. I ask God for something. I bring my need before him, and I'm speaking it out of faith. I'm speaking it out of faith. God, I know you're going to bring about an answer. I know you've got a solution. I don't know what's going on. So here I am. I make it that statement, make that request in faith, and then I go about my business. Don't hear an answer. 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 And then all of a sudden, after I've quit believing, God says, I'm ready to answer that, but where are you? You're not there anymore. I'm ready, but where are you? From faith to faith. From faith to faith. You see, God responds to faith. Yes, he does. And so it's very important for you and I to have faith in our heart and to trust the God of all creation, the Almighty God. Praise God. See, the kingdom, Jesus followers and the kingdom people, believers like you and I, sometimes we receive criticism and people saying, oh, you're using your magic words, or you're talking to your invisible friend. Well, let me just read something to you. Psalm 115. We're almost done. Not unto us, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and your faithfulness. Why do the nations say, where is their God? Like they might say to you today. They might discredit you as a Jesus follower. Where is your God? Our God, David answers, is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold, made by the hands of men. They have mouths, but cannot speak. They have eyes, they cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear. Noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel. Feet, but they cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those, listen to this, Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. Now, why did I read that to you? Well, I believe today that it's not a question about do I believe or not, or do I worship or not, but rather it's a question of what I worship and who I worship. Because the scripture says those who make false gods, false idols, are like them, and so will all those who worship them. You see, I become what I worship. I become like what I elevate in my life. And so today, the spiritually needy world that's among us, let us, as worshipers, as Christ followers, let us enter in with big shovels. Let us enter into it with a big measure of faith and trust God. Believe Him more today than you have ever believed Him in the past. Your needs and your requests are on the way. I can't tell you when or how, but God can. And so today, a manifestation of the kingdom power is what God wants to deliver to you. See, the world needs an invasion of the kingdom of God. It needs a demonstration of the kingdom of God. That's where you and I come in, to live our life in such a way that others watching and others rubbing shoulders and elbows with you would be actually hungry to know more, and how they too might have joy in their heart, unspeakable, full of the glory of God. Let's stand for just a moment. Lord Jesus, I just thank you today for the victory that you have provided for us in the cross. Thank you for the presence of God that we've been able to enjoy today. Thank you that we have been made in your image. And the more we worship you, the more we become like you. Help us to worship the one true living God, to worship you, Jesus, and to celebrate your victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. Thank you so much for that demonstration of your power that you gave to us. And we just ask for that full manifestation of power and glory to be made known in our world through our faith. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Let's worship the Lord.